Radio made in Watford. Watford. Vibe 107.6.
Joining me now is a local guy who works as a DJ, a radio presenter and co-host with Scott Mills on BBC Radio 1. He's interviewed some of the massive, biggest names in show business around the world. He's also got hundreds of thousands of followers on Twitter, certainly more than my 200 anyway. Most importantly, he's a Hornet. He's a massive Watford fan. It's Chris Stark. Chris, hello.
Hey.
Give you a round of applause.
Oh, amazing. Thank you. What an honour.
Oh, yeah, of course. How are you, first of all?
Yeah, I'm really good. It's been a while since I saw you. I saw you over Christmas, didn't I? And
yeah.
We said we were going to try and make something happen. It's good to finally speak to you on Vibe.
Absolutely, yeah. And we appreciate you taking the time. I know you're very busy. So tell us, I want to know, how did it all start, Chris? How did you get into radio, first of all?
Well, I guess it's a lot of, you know, there was a lot of luck in it, but then there's also a lot of making your own luck with it. I've always been really, really passionate about radio to the point where I used to broadcast a little radio show to my parents next door. It's dead sad.
But no,
I think
not.
Most people who are radio presenters will say the same thing, that it's kind of a passion from a young age, and it's a passion in music. It's a passion in just wanting to be heard a little bit. And a passion in being creative. And I just sort of fell in love with radio. I used to listen to radio a lot. I was a massive, massive Radio 1 fan.
Yeah.
And then I think I just wanted to kind of try and copy people that I really, really liked and really respected. So I've somehow gone from doing that to being on Radio 1 now, which is amazing. But I mean, along the way, the real practical steps, if there is anyone listening that wants to get into radio or you know, maybe aim to get to Radio 1 or whatever, I started in hospital radio, which was at, do you know Radio Northwick Park or Northwick Park Hospital?
Northwick Park Hospital, know it well, yep.
Yeah. So, I just got involved in that and really, really enjoyed it. I was probably the youngest person there, but I just thought it was an amazing place. And for me, it was really nerve-wracking. I was suddenly in a studio environment rather than just my living room. And it was great. I got to play music. I got to just try and think of funny stuff to do. And it kind of went from that to, I went to uni and did student radio. And at the same time, I tried to get as much work experience as I could in commercial radio. And yeah, it just kept going up and up and up to the point where I was quite used to hassling people by then. I used to hassle, you know, and that's probably quite a repetitive story throughout my life, is you get rejected a hell of a lot, but then eventually you do get a lucky break from making your own luck. And, you know, it somehow went from doing hospital radio to being where I am now. You know, I'm looking out across Regent Street right now from the 8th floor broadcasting house, which is where Radio 1 is. Feels like a bit of a mad story.
So when you was younger, who did you look up to within the industry, within the radio or the entertainment industry? Who was the people you used to think, do you know, that's what I want to do, that's who I want to be like?
I used to love Moyles. I used to record his shows, and then I'd go into school and I just thought it was the funniest thing. I thought it was the most creative stuff. I think growing up, there were certain people that I used to really respect, being sort of 15, 16 and knowing I really wanted a career in radio but not really seeing how. And they were the people that I sort of targeted from quite a young age. In Radio 1 levels and stuff like that, I would say, you know, Moyles I was obsessed with. I loved his show. I'd record his show and then I'd record highlights into another cassette. This makes me sound so old.
Cassette?
I'd take one tape and then record the highlights of that onto another tape.
So have you told Chris Moyles all this?
Yeah, I did, yeah, because when I started at Radio 1, he was working here, and we used to sit opposite each other. I found it really odd when I started at Radio 1 because I was such a big fan. I've got to admit, for the first few months when I was here and I had a desk in the office, I think I was really quiet because I just couldn't believe that I was at that place. And, you know, all these people, Moyles was a colleague and a friend at the time. I don't really see him that much anymore. But people like Fern, who I really respected and looked up to, you know, growing up, she was a presenter who was everywhere. I think it's really cool that she's now my friend. And I always remember that feeling of starting at Radio 1 and just being like, oh, my God, what am I doing here? I never felt like a fish out of water. But everyone made me feel really comfortable. But that's not to say that when you first turn up, you can't help but feel in awe of the place and in awe of the people that you get to work with.
It must be when you first get to meet these people and you've been listening to them or seeing them on the TV and then you get to meet them. So that brings me on to my next question. You've interviewed quite a number of big names within the celebrity showbiz world. And obviously, I've got to ask you about the very beautiful Mila Kunis and the interview that you did with her. How did that come about for those that don't know? I mean, it's seen millions of times on YouTube.
It was a while ago now. So basically, I don't really know that much about films. It's not really my thing. I've never been that interested in films. Like, I watch the odd film, but I'm not really like an obsessive. And anyway, what they fixed me up to do was to go and really last minute. They told me this really last minute. They just said that I was going to be interviewing someone really famous. I had to go to this hotel and interview Mila Kunis, but I was kind of violently underprepared for it. I didn't really know much about her movies or kind of... I knew her, obviously, because she's famous, but I didn't know that much about her. And, yeah, I was just in a situation. They're called junkets, where you have to... where basically someone like her will sit in a room, in a really posh hotel room, and then just for hours and hours, journalists will come in and ask her questions. And it can be really mundane and really boring. Yeah. I've never done one of these things before. So I went in. It was quite an intimidating atmosphere. And I just sort of went off script, really, and just thought, well, I haven't got that many good questions, so it's better to just be yourself. And luckily, she was really cool. At the time, I thought I'd really screwed it up. This is the funny thing. I went away from that interview, and I called Scott and told him that I'd ballsed up this interview. And actually, it turned out to be what it was, which was, by looks of it, well, a massive success. And I think people really liked that they got to see an interview with someone that famous that was almost like what it would be in the pub. Or, you know, it's sort of something that sort of strips away the formalities of being in a junket in a really posh hotel. So, yeah, it was an amazing experience. But at the time, I've got to be honest, it was a tiny bit of a blur. And also, I thought I'd screwed it up.
Well, you didn't. And, you know, I went to see that film. I remember going to see the film, The Oz, The Great and the Powerful, brilliant film. Mm. And you was actually chatting to her. And you was talking to her about Nando's, wasn't you?
That's
Nando's.
Right.
About Watford.
She's invited her to Watford, of course, yeah.
Tell me about that. Talking about Watford, now Mila Kunis is a Hornet. Tell us about your love of Watford, how that started, Watford Football Club, and some of your experiences since then, since you've obviously been a Watford fan.
Well, I think what's been really nice about being on Radio 1 now and everything that kind of comes with that is being able to also... They almost encourage me to talk about Watford Football Club, and they don't tell me not to. So... obviously, being a very proud Watford fan, it's quite nice to be on Radio 1 or whenever you do a bit of TV or whatever it is and being able to almost spread the word a little bit about Watford and be a passionate Watford fan. And it's generally met with quite a nice response.
Yes.
Like, I think people have a lot of respect for Watford Football Club. And you'll probably say the same. Whenever you say who you support, I always think whenever you say Watford, if they're a football fan, they generally responds with, oh, fair play.
Yeah, I do, yeah.
It's a lot of warmth around Watford Football Club. Yeah, I think it's quite nice. I sometimes feel, it's terrible to say this because no one has given me the right, but sometimes I do feel like a bit of an ambassador for the club and just want to do everything I can to try and help it in what I can bring to the club.
Absolutely.
You know, ultimately, I just have a laugh and play some music and that kind of thing, but I kind of think as well it's great being able to spread the word of Watford, and it's nice because the listeners really respond to it, and I get so many tweets or I get loads of texts into the show from people after Watford have played at the weekend, win, lose or draw, if they're giving me stick or whatever. I quite like it.
Yeah.
I quite like that people have that association.
It is nice to have that association with a football club that is seen as, you know, a community and a family club. So well done for you for spreading the word and spreading the love. What's next for Chris Starr? What have you got left in your ambition bag that you'd like to do?
I think that's a really hard question because I've always wanted to be on Radio 1. I really do feel like I'm at the point in my life right now where I'm just really, really happy. You know, Watford are in the Premier League. I'm on Radio 1. You know, it feels to me things have gone to plan. But I don't know. I don't really know what my ambition is from here on in because the aim was to always work at the highest level of radio. I really do think that I'm doing that right now. And sometimes I think it's too easy to constantly look to the future and want more and more and more and more and more. And that's not a bad thing, but equally, sometimes you've got to just enjoy the moment. I think we're doing... I love our show on Radio 1 at the moment. I'm really proud of it. I think it's got a great future at the moment. So right now, I'm happy with how things are.
So it's
there's lots of stuff outside of Radio 1. You know, I'm off to Japan next week to film something so strange.
What? Go on, tell us.
Oh, it's not really... it's not really out there yet, to be honest.
Right. Okay. But, watch your space.
I'll tell you, it's I did a show about the world's most extreme festivals.
That's it.
And we just did this one-off show, and it was filmed in America. But they want to make a few more of them. So next week I'm off to Japan to go film the first one.
Oh, fantastic.
And I don't know too much about it. They're keeping a lot of it secret.
That's what people do to you. I think they like throwing you in the deep end, Chris, and see what happens.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I get that impression as well. But no, it's good. I think there's lots of other things going on. And obviously... DJing and stuff like that, like you do yourself. It's nice to be able to do that and perform at clubs and unis around the UK. There's lots on. But, you know, as you said, in terms of ambition, for me right now, I really want to enjoy fulfilling what has always been my ambition.
Absolutely.
And that's what I'm doing right now.
And, you know, so it's just watch your space. Keep doing what you're doing, Chris. You speak very, very wisely for a young man. And we wish you all the best with your career. And we're going to keep an eye on you. And hopefully we'll catch up with you again soon.
Yeah, Defo, well, I really want to come in at some point.
Oh, excellent. Well, that was one of my questions, actually. I nearly forgot it. Chris, would you ever be prepared to come and do a show with me here at Vibe 107.6?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Okay.
We've got to make it happen. We'll sort the finer details another time. I'm sure people don't want to hear boring logistics. But, yeah, I'd love to. We need to link up on something.
Absolutely. We'll stay in touch and we'll see if we can make that happen, Chris.
Yeah, brilliant. All
Chris,
right, then.
Thank you very much for your time.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks so
Chris
much
Stark.
For getting me on. I'm finally on Vibe. That's Vox Tick.
You're a star. Thanks, Chris.
All right. Cheers, Lee.
Vibe 107.6.